Hello and welcome to the World Today's weekly political panel, simulcast on ABC News 24 around the country. I'm Eleanor Hall. Each Friday leading up to the federal election, we'll bring you an insider's view of the campaign with former or retiring politicians. Joining me today is Dr. John Hewson. As former federal Liberal leader, he's been there himself. And Tony Abbott started his political career writing speeches for John Hewson. Former Labor MP Maxine McHugh snatched the seat of Bennelong from John Howard in the 2007 election. She remained a Kevin Rudd loyalist through the Julia Gillard prime ministership. And former Greens leader Dr. Bob Brown. He resigned from politics last year after leading the minor party to its greatest result. And you can join us on Twitter too using the hashtag OzVotes. So it's hardly the conventional approach for a government to call an election campaign just after announcing a series of unpopular tax increases, rising unemployment and a massive blowout in the budget deficit, only to then ask the voters to judge it on its economic management. But that's not the only unusual thing about this election campaign. We appear to have two opposition leaders. The coalition leader, Tony Abbott, is running against the Labor government, but the incumbent, Kevin Rudd, is also presenting himself as a new way. Both major parties are running on the theme of trust and the economy, and the coalition has made what could be the biggest spending promise of this campaign with its company tax cut worth $2.5 billion a year. But the bombshell this week has come from Labor, with the dramatic late entrance yesterday of former Queensland Premier Peter Beattie, who's making the leap to federal politics by contesting the outer Brisbane seat of Ford.
Yes, we have had our differences, but it takes a bit of strength and a bit of guts from the Prime Minister to rise above that and say what's good for the campaign, what's good for Queensland.
Tony Abbott wasn't impressed today.
Peter Beattie was a self-confessed media tart, so he's used some pretty interesting language about himself, and I think that if the government was serious about giving Australia a new way, it wouldn't be recycling failed former leaders.
That's Tony Abbott's view. But Maxine McHugh, let's start with you. You grew up in Queensland. What's your sense of how Queenslanders will react? Will this be a game changer for Labor?
I think it can be. Certainly none of us saw this coming, and some of us perhaps should have seen it coming. But I think it's very interesting the move that Peter Beattie has made. Someone with a lot of choices, didn't have to stump up, but he is doing this because he believes Rudd can win. I give him full credit. He is standing in a Liberal-held marginal seat. I give him another huge tick for that. And I think in terms of Queensland, there will be continuing affection for Beattie. He radiates confidence. You know, as I think someone used to say about him, he's got a smile as big as a watermelon cut open. And that confidence, I think, is going to be very important, particularly in a state like Queensland. He has the crossover appeal that Rudd has as well. Keep in mind that Rudd succeeded in 2007 because he won seats that nobody expected him to pick up. In the cane fields, the coal fields, Conservative-held seats that we had never held before. Beattie has that same crossover appeal. So I think people who are perhaps thinking of a protest vote with perhaps Bob Catter will now come back to Labor. So you'd have to have, I would certainly think he's secured Ford for us. And that the hope is that you could go up that pendulum and there'll be a range of other seats that the twin campaigning of Rudd and Beattie can secure for Labor. And, of course, we need them because we are going to go backwards elsewhere.
Of course, there's no great warmth between these two political leaders. I mean, Bob Brown, how do you
see? Oh, there's a rapprochement. Come on. This is the new way.
I mean, this is the man who said Julia Gillard's our girl, Kevin Rudd should leave Parliament.
But that's what he said last week,
So, Bob Brown, some have said this is a sign of desperation. Do you see it as a sign of desperation or a political masterstroke?
Well, it's a rabbit out of the hat. It's certainly going to bring attention onto Sally Spain, not so well known, but the Greens candidate in the seat of Ford, because her preferences may well decide the outcome in what's going to be a vital seat. We've got some big issues in Queensland, and it's going to focus for her attention on the fact the Greens are opposing the rollout of coal seam gas, which is very unpopular in rural areas as well as in the cities. We're just seeing the tag up on ABC 24 of a decision imminent on Abbott Point, the massive coal outlet inside the Great Barrier Reef. Only the Greens will stand against that. The Barrier Reef's at stake. There's a lot at stake here, and I think the Greens are going to be crucial to people who are fed up with both the major parties, not just in Ford, but across the country. And I just saw Christine Milne on the preceding program to this. She's looking good, she's looking relaxed, and I think she's going to do better than a lot of the pundits would think.
Well, John Hewson, Tony Abbott's response to this Beattie entrance was to remind voters of the revolving door of Labor leaders. Not a bad response, but do you think that there is a real fear behind this? If you were leading the campaign, would you be worried about the Beattie effect? The betting markets did go immediately towards Labor when the announcement was made.
Yeah, I saw that. I think the jury's out as to whether this will work. I mean, I think Rudd was actually caught a bit by surprise yesterday because he was heading off somewhere else before he suddenly changed the media scrum up and moved it up to Brisbane. But, look, as one of your announcers said, I think, quite aptly last night, it's an open question as to whether a media tart can rise twice. And we need to see that. And we need to actually monitor it. Strategically, it can be a clever move. He's definitely a good campaigner. He's definitely the master of spin. And in that sense, I think he'll be a plus in terms of the campaign. But whether he can win that seat, given all the baggage, you know, I mean, the previous candidate's got banners all over the place saying, you know, Kevin Rudd's candidate. Mm-hmm. And suddenly he's replaced. And so there are inconsistencies emerging in the Rudd campaign in the sense that, you know, it's the new way, no more old politics, give the grassroots a greater say in the selection of candidates, the selection of leader, and suddenly we'll just replace one. I think people are going to be pretty suspicious about all that. And as to Beattie's motives, well, I mean, I think the big loser yesterday was probably Bill Shorten, because if they lose the election, Bill's probably going to find it that much harder to become leader of the opposition if Beattie actually does win. So,
but I don't find it at all surprising that when Rudd apparently picked up the phone to Beattie and he was in the United States to say, I want you to do this, he probably thought about it for about 5 seconds and said, I'm back in. Why? Because he's got...
promised to kill.
That's right, because you know, he's got that political fix. I mean, he's probably had, you know, a very nice life, but actually he knows that nothing replaces the thrill of being at the centre of Australian political life with the potential to work on policy that will change the country.
I think that inconsistency, though, that John Hewson's just pointed out. You know, Labor was promising a new way, reform of the Labor Party. Here we have a prime ministerial pick put into a seat.
This is the new way.
Yeah. John Hewson, just to come to the issue of Tony Abbott's response, though, I mean, here is a leader cruising towards a victory when Julia Gillard was Prime Minister. Yes. It must now be putting pressure on him, this fear of losing the unlosable election.
Well, perhaps from personal experience, I don't think any election is unlosable. But I think, yeah, look, it's a different ball game, and they know that they have to run a very disciplined campaign. They have to stay focused on their message and not be dragged into the circus that is Rudd. In those terms, it's much harder for Tony than it was before. I mean, under Julia, they were probably going to win 30, 40 seats, something like that. And now it's a much tighter contest, and... you know, Kevin's still got it all to do in the sense that he's starting behind in terms of the number of seats. And Tony's sitting pretty much on 75. He needs one more to win. So he's got to keep what he's got. Rudd's got to take them off him in an environment where I think Rudd will lose seats in New South Wales. He'll lose seats in Victoria, may even lose one in Tasmania. Well, see Tony down there yesterday campaigning pretty heavily in Bass, which has got about a 5 or 6% margin, I think. It's quite a big
very
swing.
Very close, so is Braddon and even Lyons. But,
see, there's possibilities that they'll take significant seats still off Rudd, so he's got to win and win big in Queensland, hence the move with Beattie. I think it gives them a better chance than they had before.
I was going to say, the maths is still very hard for Labor, and I think this is still Abbott's to lose. But I tell you what surprised me this week is that it strikes me that Tony Abbott still has not realised that the game has significantly changed. I happen to think he got away with murder this week with the proposal to reduce company taxation, the rationale for that was not provided, let alone the costings, and this kind of cavalier, oh, we'll tell you if we feel like it. Well, I have to think he will not get through another 4 weeks of the campaign with that kind of attitude, and nor should he.
Well, there's an interesting piece of advice coming from Janet Albrightson, who says that Tony Abbott, she really wants him to loosen up, she says, because he's making Kevin Rudd look charming and, as she puts it, normal.
Yeah, look, I'd worry if I was getting that advice from Janet, but I don't think Tony can change, quite frankly. I really don't think he can change, and I don't think he should change. I think he's offering an alternative in terms of good government. Stable, good government, that's his line. He's going to run that, and I think he's got to stay, you know, dull and boring as he is.
But, John,
but that's fine. I mean, John Howard was dull and boring.
What do you think of his...
People look fondly back. Even Richo in the paper today is looking fondly back at John Howard.
Do you think his economic message is credible, though?
Well, I don't think the economic message of both sides is credible in the sense that the economy, take the exports out of the economy, take the resource exports in particular out of the economy, and the rest of the economy is teetering on the brink of recession. And neither side has a response to that.
Well, but at least Labor is talking about, you know, has got three proposals out there that will increase revenue. Abbott will decrease revenue.
Well, we have to. I mean, I think you're right. He will have to put his costings out, and I think that'll be done. And I think it's in his interest to actually do it and do it decisively, and I think that's probably what they're planning to do. So let's see how that unfolds in the next 4 weeks. But the pressure is on, obviously, as Maxine says, to demonstrate how you're going to pay for it.
Well, both parties are running on this question of trust. Who can you trust to manage the economy? Bob Brown, both are promising surpluses as soon as possible in the current climate. Do you think either of them should be running on a platform of economic management?
I think the Greens are more economically responsible. You have to remember that it was Tony Abbott that opposed the package that Wayne Swan put through to save this country from recession during the global financial recession, downturn as we call it here. And that saved hundreds of thousands of jobs. I was there. I helped negotiate that. The Greens have stuck with Treasury, Conservative Treasury's formula for a mining tax, and there's an extra $40 billion in the forward estimates that neither of the big parties have. We want to fund good health outcomes, including a universal dental scheme. We got to first stage with that during this period with the Gillard government. It's there for Australian children, as well as, of course, Gonski education, the national disability scheme, high-speed rail, and a range of innovations. And you can't do that if you're not taking the money fair enough to spread it. I saw in Sydney last night outside a church, let's vote for a better sharing of resources. That's what the Greens are about. And you have to do that when you're in government. And we haven't had that sharing. The rich have got richer, the poor have got poorer. It's only the Greens who have stood up for that, and by using Treasury's own formula to get that outcome.
I wouldn't quite agree with that. I think that most of the figures show that, in fact, the transfer payments overwhelmingly are helping low and middle income earners in Australia. I mean, Bob, it's perfectly true. We're an unequal society. We're far less unequal than any other society, though.
We're getting less equal every day, Maxine, in Australia.
Let me bring you back to the company tax issue, because on this one, Kevin Rudd launched effectively the first scare campaign on the GST. Now, he launched that in response to the Coalition's company tax. Let's hear a little bit about how he framed that.
This review of the goods and services tax has to be part of the equation. You've had one Liberal Premier after the other saying the goods and services tax has to be increased. And now we have, in today's Australian Financial Review, Mr. Hockey, in an interview, indicating clearly that raising the goods and services tax is on the Coalition's agenda. And he says again, it's part of the equation. So I think this is a big, big development in this election campaign.
I want to make it absolutely crystal clear. The Coalition has no plans whatsoever to change the GST. The Labor scare, and we're going to have quite a few Labor scares over the next 30 days or so, quite a few Labor scares. The Labor scare is just that, more shrill hysteria from a desperate political party.
So Tony Abbott ruling out a GST increase there. Maxine McHugh, is this just a cheap shot from Kevin Rudd?
Well, I don't believe what Abbott said there, but I actually happen to think that the GST and adjustments to it, or reviewing the whole GST, should be in the mix. I think it was a mistake that it was kept out of the Ken Henry review in the last couple of years. And, you know, who believes this won't be revisited at some stage, no matter who is in government?
Now, John Hewson, you famously ran on a campaign detailing why GST would be good for the Australian economy. Are you partly responsible for the fact that the political parties seem to be running a mile for it every time it's raised in a political campaign?
Certainly frightened them off, I think. but look, both sides have ruled it out for the next parliamentary term, and I think that's the fact. But I'd say in a medium-term sense, it must be on the table. It must be reviewed as part of a genuine review of the tax system, because it does unleash the capacity to not only restructure tax, but to deal with some of the inequities that Bob's talking about. It gives you the capacity to raise pensions, for example, or increase New Start as part of a package, over and above any direct impact of the GST. It does facilitate a reform of the welfare system as much as it facilitates a reform of the tax system. So inevitably, it's going to be on the agenda. And just going back to one point that was made before, we do have Gonski, we do have National Disability, we do have infrastructure programs and so on, but if you go to the out years, they are all unfunded. I mean,
the big money is in year 5 and 6, isn't it?
Year 5 and 6 for Gonski, 2018, 2019. If you look at the early 20s costs of the disability care, it's 20 to 30 billion a year. You're not going to find that sort of money in this system. Yes. So everyone's running, both sides support Gonski, both sides support National Disability, both sides have got infrastructure programs. They're all unfunded, and so that's going to raise a very big...
All three sides support it, but we can fund it. That's the difference.
And over and above that, Ellen, it was interesting, Ken Henry, the former Treasury Secretary, gave an interview to Peter Hartcher this week, just making the point that, of course, no one is talking about ballooning health costs in the future. Oh, yeah. This is the thing everyone is running away from. Ageing society, health costs, and he is actually saying that a country as prosperous as Australia should adequately fund its health system, but we have to ask some hard questions about what we are prepared to pay for that system.
So perhaps one of the surprises that both major parties are running on economic management, another one is another surprising omission, I guess, is the coalition not making around-the-clock use of those extraordinary character assassinations of Kevin Rudd by so many of his own side earlier this year. I mean, some of those are still doing the rounds on social media. Let's get a flavour of one of them now.
Dysfunction, paralysis, sabotage, chaos,
contempt, appalled,
very bad behaviour,
undermined,
very difficult,
deeply flawed,
leaked, inability,
poll driven,
absolutely outraged,
own backyard,
increasingly erratic,
lost confidence,
destabilised government,
bickering and destabilisation,
or shut up,
undermining,
chaos,
manipulating something,
band of prima donnas,
stealth,
dysfunction,
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 dysfunction.
Now, that was an ad from back when Kevin Rudd had his failed leadership challenge. John Hewson, why do you think coalition strategists are not making more use of those self-inflicted, you know, wounds on the Labor Party?
Well, I think they're there, and I think it will, as you say, continue to run on social media. But I do think that Tony's trying to create a somewhat different impression of himself. I mean, he got bagged for 2.5 years for being totally negative on everything. And since the turn of the year, he's been far more prime ministerial. He's stepped above that. The attack dogs are out there, of course, doing their bit. But I think he's trying to run the issue of trust, the issue of confidence, the issue of good government, all of which don't really allow him to be overtly negative. And I think the negative ads are counterproductive. I mean, in 93, I was the only one on our side who voted for a 100% positive campaign. Everyone
it didn't
else
work.
A 100% negative campaign. And they came out with these terrible ads, gun sight ads, trapdoor ads, all against Keating. They're all counterproductive in my view. The electorate is sick of that stuff. They want to see a more genuine debate and more focused on policy. And I think that's the new politics that we perhaps ought to be pursuing.
I agree with
that. Kevin Rudd's promising. You
know, the electorate's just fed up with that sort of stuff, and it comes from both sides. Hmm. They want to know about policy. They want to know about the shaping vision for this country. What our children and grandchildren are going to get out of the wealthiest country on earth. We're the wealthiest country per capita on the planet. We've got an enormous potential in this country to be a world leader in so many ways, and people want to know how leaders are going to construct that, what the vision forward is. And the negativity knocks people out. They get fed up. It's very dangerous.
Mm. Maxine McHugh, would Labor be breathing a sigh of relief that these ads are not running more on mainstream media?
No, but I think that the Libs have decided they're not going to waste any more advertising dollars on that, because they would know that most Australians know all that stuff, and they're saying, thanks very much, we'll make up our own minds. What we do know, and this is really the interesting, what's in play in this election as I see it, people have very, very fixed views about Tony Abbott. Very fixed views, and a lot of them are very negative. However, they also have exceptionally negative views about Labor, about the Labor brand. Rudd's real bet in this election is to run against the Labor Party and to make this campaign about himself. Now, people have a range of reservations about Kevin Rudd as well, but On the other hand, they see him as likeable. They see him as someone who was dudded a couple of years ago. And if Rudd is to be successful, he really needs to convey a sense that, you know, he has a view about his capacity to govern and perhaps wants to, you know, there's unfulfilled promise there. So if people go into the voting booth thinking about Rudd and credibly accepting what he lays out as his plan for the future, then he's got a chance of prevailing and forming another government. But if they're thinking about the Labor brand, and if that's what Abbott is constantly reinforcing, negatives about that, then in fact we're looking at a change of government.
It's an important difference in strategy. Rudd has to run it as a popularity contest, as Maxine says, built around Rudd, and not built around the ALP, and not mention the ALP too often, not mention the government too often. Abbott, on the other hand, I think recognises that he's not popular and that he won't be popular and he can't make himself popular in the space of 4 weeks. So you notice he's talking about focusing the debate more on looking at your individual candidates and the individual contest seat by seat. Don't forget you don't really vote for me unless you happen to be in my seat. You know, you're voting for your local member, make sure it's the right choice.
Kitty-esque in a way.
So you're going to see those two themes run consistently for the next 3 weeks.
And the problem he has is that as he takes votes from the coalition, if he does, he'll lose votes to the Greens. The asylum seeker outcome, very inhumane, that Kevin Rudd has now taken on and Abbott's got, is feeding votes across to the Greens, who have a humane policy. And I'm getting that as street feedback. And when you get that as street feedback, it's a real move.
Well, it seems as though both major parties are taking a set against the Greens. The Shadow Treasurer, Joe Hockey, had some fairly provocative words to say about doing... it was beyond his portfolio, of course, this week, about doing deals with major parties doing deals with minor parties. Let's have a listen to what Joe Hockey said about that.
Kevin Rudd must come clean with the Australian people. Is he prepared to do ugly deals with the Greens to form minority government again, which provides instability, which delivers an uncertain economy? Or is he prepared to rule that out and say, no, no more shonky deals with minority parties? We either win or we lose. Is Kevin Rudd going to come clean today on that or not?
Bob Brown, shonky deals, ugly deals, your
reaction?
Shonky
deals. Well, one of the first things Tony Abbott did after the last election was ring me and ask me to come and have a talk with him because he wanted to form government. And I did that. That was the responsible thing to do. When the people vote, you use their vote in the best way that's possible. And the Greens did that. We decided to go with Julia Gillard, and we've had some very big outcomes from that, not least the Clean Air Package and the $10 billion fund for renewable energy in Australia.
So do you believe Tony Abbott when he says he won't come and do a deal with you again if there is a hung parliament?
No, frankly, I don't. I believe that there will be negotiations if Adam Bandt is holding the balance of power or any other Greens that pick up power, because it's the responsible thing to do. And if you don't, you languish on the sidelines while people who have got a greater political maturity accept the vote of the Australian people and get on with making government. That's what we're charged to do and that's what we must do.
I think the biggest danger for the Greens would be if both major parties preference them last.
And
they may do that. I haven't seen any preference deals done yet. You know more about it than I do.
There's only one thing that'll get the major parties, Labor and a coalition, together faster than raising parliamentary salaries and superannuation. it's the threat of losing seats at the ballot box, and so we accept that. Yeah. However, everybody's negotiating on preferences. Okay.
I'm prepared to make one call on the first week of the campaign, and that is that Cath Botil is looking very, very good in the seat of Melbourne. I think she is likely to prevail. The Liberals will do what they did the last state election in Victoria and preference against the Greens.
We're not
looking at Adam Bandt getting a
Adam
second
Bandt.
Term. Now, we're very
Adam
close
Bandt
to time, so I'm going to interrupt
Adam
you
Adam
there.
Adam Bandt will win Melbourne, I'll bet you.
We'll know this in 5 weeks. Okay. Now, John Hewson, though, was it a wise thing for Tony Abbott to do to come out so strongly saying he won't do deals when the vote is looks a lot tighter, if you believe the opinion polls at this stage? There could be a hung parliament.
There could be, but I think he's just simply trying to focus the election on what he thinks were 3 years of turmoil because of a hung parliament, and you don't want that make a clear choice as part of the strategy. And you know, who knows what will happen if they get into government with a just a one or two seat majority, but I suspect that he wouldn't deal. you know, because I think he believes what he said.
We don't have time, but we do have an interesting bet there. But look, we'll be back next week. That's all for the week's panel for this week on The World Today. It's simulcast on ABC News 24. Thanks to my guests, John Hewson, Maxine McHugh and Bob Brown. You can see more from The World Today on radio and online at abc.net.au/worldtoday. And this program will be posted on iView. Join us again, same time next Friday.